All right. Good to be with you guys this morning. My wife and I sit in the back. My wife Amanda, sweet wife Amanda, is back there in the back. Amanda, wave your hand. We sit up on the front row in the first service, and then we heard that things get a little live. We heard the little rehearsal in here. I thought, you know, it might not be bad to move on back there and hear it from back there and for the second service. And so what a great team you guys had. That stuff gets you in the mood. I tell you, worship, it should be that. It should take you to the face of God and through that. And I love that. And man, the dude was jamming out over here. I don't know if that's a bass, because I don't know nothing about instruments other than turkey calls and stuff. But he's jamming out right here. Did y'all hear that a few minutes ago? And he's just right before the song started. And I promise you, for a second there, I thought Eye of the Tiger was coming. Did anybody else think that? I mean, is it just me? And I'm thinking, come on, dude, Eye of the Tiger, here we go. And that was a great song nonetheless. I mean, it was a good song, hallelujah, you know, and the cross and all the spiritual stuff. But I thought, man, Eye of the Tiger, this is your time. And would that be hard to get? Can y'all come back and do Eye of the Tiger real quick? Can we do that? Worship would break out like crazy in the place this morning, Eye of the Tiger. It's good to be with you guys this morning. It was great last night. We had an awesome time. Again, let me see your hands. How many of y'all were here last night? It wasn't very many of y'all, so I want to encourage you next year to come. You say, I don't do the hunting thing, and I'm not into all that. That's fine. Come. It's good stuff. And for those of you that said that last night, you didn't come last night because of a hunting theme. I brought a hunting video this morning to share with you, okay? So you're not going to dodge it all the way around. But it was good. We had an awesome time, and I encourage you guys to continue to support this church in that effort and continue to. It may not be your thing, but it was so cool to see and to be a part of that. And I love a church that supports that, particularly people that say, well, I don't do the hunting thing, but I love to see them get behind it and support it and say, you know what, it's not my thing. I don't like to hunt or fish, but I know it's an awesome outreach for this community, so I'm going to support that and jump in and serve. And I love that. I love to hear people come up and they're volunteers and they say, well, I'm not that person. I don't do this stuff, and I want to come and serve because I know it's a good cause. So you guys continue to support this church as they reach the community with that. We had a great time, and I had several kids last night I gave calls to, and he mentioned, and I told him, I said, you guys show up tomorrow with your mouth call, your turkey call, show up in church, and there will be a time in church, and if it's this church or another church across the community, it'd be even better, because I want you to blow those calls right in the middle of the service, okay? It may be the worship time with music, you can just feel free to do so, and I know the pastors are, you know, cringing, like, oh no, not here, not, the, you know, and so I told them you either do it on Sunday morning at church or wait till Monday morning at school. And the teacher is up there at the chalkboard doing her thing, working, and you just you blow a call in your mouth, and they don't know who you got. And she turns around like, what in the world? And you just, I don't know. And so it's a lot of fun for those kids. So hopefully some of those will take their calls to school tomorrow and probably go to detention or whatever it is they do nowadays. I told him just to blame it on the preacher, though. Not Brody Swisher. Just blame it on Pastor John, and you'll be okay, okay? So it's Pastor John's fault. Hey, if you got your Bibles this morning, your iPads, your gadgets, whatever you use to find God's Word, I'll be finding Psalm 150. Psalm 150 is where we're going to be in just a quick passage. The message is pretty quick today. We're going to keep it short and sweet. As sweet as a turkey hunt can be, I guess I should say, talking about a turkey. We shared a video last night with Mr. Walt. And I want to share that again in just a moment, not because I want to share a turkey hunt in a church service on Sunday, although that is history in the making. I told him last night, so we're going to share a turkey hunt today in church. It's probably the only church in the country, most likely around the world, that will feature a turkey hunt as part of the Sunday service. But so you guys are part of history this morning, I would venture to say. But the story with Mr. Walt, is there was more to it. I wanted to share this morning, and I invited those folks back. I want to share with you guys. And the question of today is, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go home? A lot of you are like, heck yeah, I'm ready. I've been sitting here for an hour, and they played some good music, but I'm getting sleepy, I'm getting hungry, and I'm ready to go. Now, I want to ask you the question, are you ready to go home to be with the Lord? Is your life in such a place? Are you ready to stand before the King? Are you ready to go home? I will ask, how many of you got the spring setting the clock? How many almost got you this morning? Anybody forget the clock? Anybody wake up thinking they messed up? Anybody? Good. It's easy when you're at the late service, right? When you're here late, you don't have to worry about it as much. Some of the ones earlier, they were a different story for them, getting up early. Psalm 150. If you found it, say, uh-huh. All right, let's read it. Psalm 150. And here's 150 of these things. This is the very last one, the very last psalm. The big book in the middle of the whole Bible. You can pretty much open the Bible right down the middle. You hit Psalm, the very last one. It's all this talking about praise and praise. And you see just praise after praise. Praise the Lord is the theme here. But the very last one, I love how it wraps up. It says this. It says Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. It says praise God in his sanctuary. That's what we're doing today. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Okay? Now, I don't play those instruments. I don't know how to even begin to play these instruments. I play, again, a turkey call, the elk bugle. Those are my instruments. And so I think we could probably squeeze those in here somewhere. You know, I told the first service, I'm going to, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, God, why did you not have the turkey call in here? Praise him with a turkey call. And it should be in here somewhere, maybe. Verse 4, praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Now, some of y'all think that's crazy. Oh, dancing. You can't praise the Lord dancing. I grew up in the Baptist church, and that was a no-no. You don't dance, right? Now, looking back, I want to take this back to my youth leader and say, look here, son. Praise him with dancing right there. I got gypped, okay? You told me I couldn't dance, and here it is. Praise him not only with dancing, but the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. But watch this, the last one. Here's what you get this morning. This is the one to key in on. I want you to circle it, highlight it, whatever you got. Verse 6, let everything that hath breath, what? Praise the Lord, okay? You've heard that before. That's probably not anything new. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. This translation here I've got says, let everything that breathes sing praises to God, praises to the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Raise your hand if you got breath in your lungs this morning. That's all of us, right? If you're here this morning and you are, and you're breathing, which you are, you ought to be, according to this, praising the Lord. Our lives ought to be praising the Lord. Everything that has breath, it's not saying you might want to, you should, or consider praising the Lord. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then it finishes up and says, praise the Lord. So guys, when I read that, as simple as that is, I look at that and say, man, we need to be praising him with everything we've got. Praising him with the instruments and the musicians do their thing. They've done that this morning wonderfully. What about the rest of us? We oftentimes say, well, you guys are good. Let the worship dudes banging on the drum and jamming out the guitars, let them praise the Lord for us, okay? They're going to praise the Lord. We're going to watch, clap hands, and do our thing. But no, they do their thing with instruments. We do our stuff with our lives. Again, I'm serious when I say I do that with the turkey call and with my hunting. I'm using that. I'm going to praise the Lord through what I do, my passion. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. It's clear that our lives should be praising the Lord, everything we do. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him with your life, your actions, your deeds. All your stuff needs to be pointing back to and praising God. Okay, real simple this morning. Just what is it? What is our purpose? What is our life meant to be? Why are you here? That's the question. Why are you here? Why did God put you on this earth? And are you using your life and the time that he gave you to make a difference for the kingdom, for all eternity? What is your purpose? And are you using your purpose to praise him? Real simple question this morning. I want us to reflect on that. Now listen, I want to share this video. And again, it is a turkey hunt, okay? Now, I don't want to offend anybody. I was really, strangely enough, I was more concerned in the first service because it was an older generation. It was some of our older group. And I know some of y'all are here in this service as well. But for, all in all, it was a majority of, was an older generation of folks in the first service. And I thought, man, I don't want to offend these guys. They're not going to like this. And I was kind of thinking, I don't know, this isn't going to work. And I'm going to get some complaints. And I'm going to get strangled outside there. They're going to come after me in that older. But it just dawned on me at one conversation I had. Because I walked out there, and my wife was getting some coffee. And one of the older ladies, sweet older lady, she pulled me aside. She said, I love that video. And she said, I remember when I was little, we had a big log out back. We'd get them chickens and turkeys. And she said, there were two nails in it. And I don't know if I think she said she had two nails in it. And I guess she put that chicken or turkey's neck in the two nails. Anybody know, is that how it worked? And she said, we put that neck in there, stretch that sucker out. And she had a smile on her face and just kind of a twinkle in her eye. And I thought, all right, I like where we're going with this. I'm with you. She said, we stretch that thing out, we chop his head off. Well, hallelujah. You know, I mean, yeah. But the fire in her eyes, she was just kind of like, we chop that neck off. It was awesome. You know, see, and I'm thinking, hey, I like this lady. She's like, that was the good old days. And I thought, okay, we're on the same wavelength. And it really kind of dawned on me, this is a crowd I ought to be worried about with the younger kids, because now it's a generation of, we've got our kids that are playing their gadgets, and you say, we're going to show you an animal getting killed. Like, no, we don't do that on our gadgets. They play, Big Game Hunter, Cabela's Big Game Hunter on their video game. There's no blood, and they don't get to gut stuff and see heads flopping and chopping and all that. So we've kind of protected our kids, right? And we need to get our kids out there and experience grandma's chicken butchering, right? We need kids that see that, experience that, get grass stains on their knees once again, because I'm afraid we've taken our kids inside and we've pacified them with electronics. Hey, my kids are guilty of it too. I'm guilty of it. We get in there and they're like, hey, can I play a game? I said, no, yeah, you can play a game and get outside, get in the sandbox, or get outside and go find something and treasure, whatever. But that was kind of I love that. That was an enlightening moment with her. And just to see her, she said, that's the good old days, killing chickens and turkeys out back. And I thought, all right, we're good. But with that said, I don't want to, honestly, I don't want to offend anybody this morning. I share this because we're going somewhere with it. Stick with me on this video, okay? Now, I blacked out the part where the shot is, okay? We have some turkeys come up, and this is the story of Mr. Walt. Mr. Walt was 92 years of age, I think, when he first came up. He wanted a turkey hunt. All his life he wanted a turkey hunt, but had never had the opportunity. Now, Mr. Walt, like I said, he was in military, and he was a sharpshooter, and he was one of those guys. He'd done all kind of things and done pretty much everything you can imagine, but he never killed a turkey. He'd say, man, I can shoot a penny at a mile away with a .22 rifle open sights. He's one of those kind of guys. You really didn't believe his story, but you just went with it because it sounded good, and it made him look good, and he liked to tell it, and so you went with it. But he never killed a turkey. I said, well, bring him up here. He lived in Georgia. We were in Tennessee. His niece was like parents does, awesome people, lived in Tennessee, had 80-acre farm, killer farm, full of turkeys. They didn't let anybody hunt it. That's why the turkeys were there. They wouldn't let me hunt it, but they'd let Mr. Walt hunt it. And I said, you bring him up, we'll get Mr. Walt on a turkey, and he will fulfill his life's purpose after all the good things he's done. He wants to kill a turkey. So we get Mr. Walt up. Now, he can't hear, okay? He's got hearing aids, and he'd crank them up, and you hear him buzzing and stuff, but even with that, he just couldn't hear. So you have to let him read your lips, or you'd have to write, most times, just the easiest thing, just write a letter to him, just write a note. Hey, Mr. Walt, we're going turkey hunting. It's time to go. Get your stuff on. Let's go. And, let him read it. Oh, okay. And we'd go. Well, we take him out there in the golf cart. Again, he doesn't get around good. He had a walker he'd use sometimes, or a cane. But, going across the field, it's not going to happen. So we took him in the golf cart, drive him out there. We set him down in the chair. We got a little camp chair. We kind of set him down in the chair. Two of us kind of lean him back. He falls back in the chair. And we got this big ground blind, pop-up ground blind. We put over the top of him, and I climbed in. We're ready to go. He's in the blind and having a big time. And the first year, however, comes, and we call it turkeys two different times, called it turkeys, and he had them right there in front of him. And I'm talking here to the organ, 10 yards, we're just right there. We call it this bird, big old long-beard turkey. Now, with the shotgun, you shoot him in the neck and the head. That's how you do it. And the one bird comes up. He's right there. And I said, Mr. Walt, there he is. And he gets his gun lined out. I told him, if you do see this, that means pull the trigger. That meant the trigger, okay? So he gets his gun, woo, shoots, nothing. Smooth miss on the first turkey. I said, hey, no problem. We got more birds coming. Let's call some more, and we'll get more birds in here. So sure enough, a little bit later, same thing, coming the other direction. Here comes another turkey, 10 or 12 yards. I say, Mr. Walt, here we go. This is your chance to redeem yourself. This is good stuff. Here's another long beard, a gobbler, a tom, whatever you want to call him. He's right there, 10 or 12 yards. Mr. Walt lays his gun out there. Give him the note, write the note. Hey, shoot that thing. Here's the finger, shoot him. And he shoots, woo! Guess what happened on the second shot? He missed that one too, okay? Clean miss again. And the turkey runs off and flies off, and it's over. Done deal. No more turkeys coming. And Mr. Walt was mad, you know what I'm saying? He was not happy about the situation. How many of you guys, when you miss, you're okay with it? You're just like, oh, no big deal. I'm fine. No, I didn't even want to shoot the thing. I didn't care. Anybody like that? No, I don't know how you ladies are, but us men, it aggravates us, to say it nicely. We're ticked off. We don't like that. We start thinking crazy stuff. I got to go back this afternoon. I got to skip church tomorrow. I'm going to call in sick to work and all these bad things so we can get some redemption and redeem ourselves from missing the stinking deer or duck or turkey, whatever it was. We want to redeem ourselves. That was Mr. Wall. He said, I'm not shaving my face. Got kind of superstitious. He said, I'm not shaving my face till I come back next year and kill one of these turkeys. I won't shave my face. He was all clean baby face the first year. But he comes back the second year, and he looks like Uncle Jesse from the Dukes of Hazzard. You know what I'm saying? Y'all remember that show? Awesome show. And it looked like Uncle Jesse, this big old beard on him, and he was serious. He came back and he said, I've got to kill a bird so I can shave my face. So that's kind of where our video picks up. I got so excited the first year on the first two shots trying to get him on those birds, all the excitement of it, and you know, his dream hunts right here, and I kind of got careless with the video, and I didn't even get the first two shots, okay? So you're going to see that, and then we're going to pick up with the next one. So let's go ahead with that, Joe, if we can. Here's the story, Mr. Walt. Now, again, I blacked out the shot part for the sake of some of you that might not want to see that. You may see little birds flopping, but I'll tell you when you can close your eyes. That really does bother you. Take him out in the golf cart. That was me and Mr. Don right there taking him out. Here's Mr. Walt. Now, like I said, he can't hear it all, but he grunts a lot.
Right down there, the third one.
Mr. Walt.
Isn't it from Georgia? He's one of our big supporters, and thank the Lord for him and all he does for the ministry, but Mr. Walt is 92 years old, and he hadn't shot a shotgun since like 1940-something the other day. This is a good example that you're never too old to get out there and chase some birds. 92 years old. He can't hear a lick. So we're writing with this notepad. We got this notepad.
There's a notepad tucked over in the corner of the blind. And we're just writing
notes
for our little girls.
Notepad. Cool,
you know what I'm saying? We're writing little notes. He'd say, hey, you see anything? I'd say, no, I don't. Hey, you got any snacks? No, I don't. Or here you go. Here's, you know, crackers. Yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. I'd say, hey, you're on your own. You know what I'm saying? You're just back and forth. The next year, though, we had flashcards. We made little cue cards, little flashcards, so we could just say, hey, Walt, you're ready. You can just use flashcard like at school. Make it nice and easy. No writing, just show the flashcard. Nice and slick. We kind of got genius the next year. Well, here's these turkeys. He missed the two shots. We fast forward a year later. Here they are, same field. Turkey's right there. Now, with that shotgun, you shoot that turkey right in that little red spot on his neck. That's what God put that red spot there as a bullseye for turkey hunters, okay? But this bird, I'm trying to get him to pop his head up there so Mr. Walt can shoot. And you got that fan. You don't want to shoot the feathers. The feathers, that's a pretty spot of them. You want to put that fan on the wall. But I get so caught up in it, I forget to run the camera too.
Shoot. Yeah. Hold on. Wait.
I tell him to shoot. He heard that one, actually.
Wait.
And I forget I got the camera on, so I'm pulling him off of it. Now shoot. We're getting lined out again.
Shoot.
I tell him to shoot right there. I should never have done that because if you see, if he shoots right there, he kills about six of them. You know what I'm saying?
Get him.
He just mows it down. But so I'm glad he didn't listen to me there, or didn't hear me, I should say. Well, that bird came, heard the sound. He came and checked it out, but he's not seeing any decoys. So he's just going to do what? He's going to follow those other hens and Jake's, and he's leaving. He's puffed up. He's strutting. And that's just like some of you young guys in the room today. When you walked in and you saw a cute girl, what did you do? You puffed up and started strutting. You know what I'm saying? You got your muscles out. You sucked your gut in, and you strutted for the ladies. That's what turkeys do. They strut for the girls, or they try to intimidate the boys. And that's what that
shoot
term, strut your stuff, that's where it comes from.
Shoot him up.
I mentioned to you, he can't hear, right?
Shoot.
So just begging Mr. Walt to shoot.
Wait. Too far.
Now he's going to start arguing with me and tell me he's too far.
All right, get ready. Right,
we're going to shoot right here. If you don't want to see, you can close your eyes for just a second.
Shoot. Yeah, shoot right there.
Bird flopping around. All right, you can open your eyes.
Praise
now.
The Lord, that's right, man.
And meet Mr. Walt. Here he is with his beautiful beard. And here's our cue
there's
guard,
your
little
cue
flash
guard.
Walt, shoot.
You going to get out
right
now?
Yeah, let's get out and go check it out.
Ready to go home. Look like an eagle.
All right. That sucker said, man, look like an eagle. Yeah, big hand for Mr. Walt. Yeah. You see the picture there? He went to be with Jesus about this time. I think it was February 2010. And what an awesome, awesome guy. And that will forever be one of my most cherished sons of all time. I love to share his story and his legacy. He loved Jesus. And he loved to tell people about Jesus. Everywhere he went, he'd drive you crazy, making sure you knew Jesus and had a relationship with Jesus. And I love that about him. And I know he was an awesome man of God, but he loved to tell this story. He loved to live it out, and he loved that moment. You heard him. He held that bird up and said, look like an eagle. Oh, I thought, gracious, how many bald eagles you kill, man? What's going on with that? Don't be talking about that. We're going to go to that check-in station here in a little bit. Don't be saying nothing about bald eagles, okay? Scaring me. But I don't think you could hear it. We were probably laughing during the video. But the first words out of his mouth when he killed that turkey when he shot that sucker, and it's sitting there flopping and rolling. And you know what the first thing he said? And you might not have heard it. I don't know. He said, "Praise the Lord." And I love that. Here a guy, 92, I think he was 93 or so when he actually killed the bird. But the first words out of his mouth when he killed a turkey was, "Praise the Lord." You know what I'm saying? And that's good stuff. And that kind of goes back to our passage today. In everything we do, praise the Lord. And I don't think there's a better time in all of life than and when a turkey's flopping. And there ain't no stopping. And a turkey's flopping. And to say, praise the Lord. As a turkey hunter, that's good stuff. When you hold those antlers of a big buck, praise the Lord. A lot of guys are like, "Hey, look what I did. I killed a trophy. Look at my deer. Look at my bull. Look at this turkey. I killed a limit this morning." Whatever, you know, look what I did. And they want to pull their phone out and take a selfie. Look what I did. But I love how Mr. Wall, what about look at me, look at selfie? It was praise the Lord was the words out of his mouth. The very first word, praise the Lord. Because he knew you praise him with the instruments. You praise God for his mighty works. He did that with his life. And he knew that when I kill a turkey, I'm praising the Lord. That was the first words out of his mouth. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Mr. Walt was breathing. He was rejoicing. He was celebrating. He killed his turkey. And he said, praise the Lord. Now here's the deal. It wasn't long after that. Mr. Walt had lived a great life. He did all the ministry stuff he felt God called him to do. He supported us so big. I mean, he loved the opportunity for me to go around the country. And he bought us a video camera. That's why how we videoed a lot of his hunts. He said, "Hey, I want you to have that. I want you to keep telling the story. I want you to keep shooting critters and telling people about Jesus through that." He said, "I want you to use your purpose and the passion you have to make a difference in the lives of others." And that's why we still share his story, because I love the legacy he had. He wanted people to use their passion and their purpose to make a difference, to praise the Lord, make a difference for the kingdom. And that's why we do what we do. That's my purpose, is to talk hunting stories and use it to reach people for Jesus. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He did that. I want to ask you today, are you doing that with your life? When you wake up, when you live out your day, are you praising the Lord in everything you do? In the midst of it, he said, "No, I got to go to work. I can't praise the Lord." Yeah, you can. You can praise him at the work. You can use that opportunity. Now, I ain't talking about going in there and cheating the boss out of time on the clock, sitting there reading your Bible. You know what I'm saying? If you're there for a job, you need to be doing your job, not sitting over there reading scripture and jipping your boss out of time. But there's opportunities throughout your day that you can praise the Lord at your workplace. You can praise the Lord in your schoolhouse. Wherever it is you go, you have the opportunity to praise the Lord in everything you do. Praise him in everything we do. We need to be doing that. Mr. Walt lived that life. He did what God called him to do. And the ministry of things, and he wasn't even a preacher in that, but he had an awesome ministry on this earth. But there was one thing missing. He didn't have the opportunity to kill that turkey. And when he killed the bird, he was ready to go, because he said, "Praise the Lord." And then the next word you may have heard, he said, "Ready to go home." And earlier when I asked you, "Are you ready to go home today?" It comes from that, because he said, "I'm ready to go home." And first I thought he meant, "Oh, let's go back and eat some breakfast. You know, go get us a sausage biscuit." He wasn't talking about going home and eating breakfast. He was talking about, "I'm ready to go home. I have done what I feel like God's called me to do on this earth, and now I've killed a turkey, praise the Lord, ready to go home." And I thought, what an awesome man. It wasn't long after that he went to be with Jesus. He had done what God put him on this earth to do, and he went to be home with the Lord. And that's the bottom line, guys. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's got you here for a time. He's got you here for a purpose. And when he's done with you on this earth, he's going to take you home. I used to hear people say, "Oh, I'm looking forward to my eternal reward." And he was always that old preacher, right? He was that old preacher, and you just knew he was ready to go home, and he was ready for his reward because nothing was working anymore, and he was hurting, and all his body was in pain, and you knew he's just ready to go home, right? And I think, man, you're just an old preacher. That's all. You know, you're talking about that old eternal reward. But it's hit me lately in the last decade or so that, no, that is the reward. Getting home to be with Jesus, that is our reward. We live this life, and when you get to go home, dude, there is no greater reward than to be in heaven with Jesus. That is as good as it gets. And Mr. Walt got to experience that. When he shut his eyes and breathed his last here on this earth, he received his reward in heaven. What an awesome time. I can only imagine what that first day for him in heaven was like. I promise you, though, he was telling people about that story right there and probably telling Jesus even today. You know, "Hey, Jesus, did I tell you about the turkey I killed down there in Tennessee with Brody?" And I don't know if he can get to take stuff, if he's got that picture, that image, whatever. He's telling Jesus about it, though, right now. "Hey, it's turkey season, Jesus. Did you know turkey season's coming? It's spring. And let me tell you about my turkey I killed in Tennessee." He loved to tell the story. And I love to tell his story. A man who fulfilled God's purpose in his life while he was here. There's a passage in Acts, way back in Acts, and it's, I think it's 13. It's just kind of a sidebar. It's not even the main story, but it talks about David, and it says, and David, after he served God's purpose in his generation, he died. You remember the story of David. David was an awesome man and did awesome things, had some struggles, did some terrible things, but an awesome guy. And it said, David, after he served God's purpose in his generation, in his life, said he died. Some translations say he fell asleep. So David did what God put him on this earth to do, and then he died. Guys, here's the thing. God's got you here on this earth for a purpose this morning. I want to ask you what it is. What it is God's got you here. You know what I'm saying? That's some good Southern talk for you. What it is. I want you to ask God of that today. Say, Lord, what is it? Or what it is that you got me here on this earth to do? What is my purpose here? God, why did you place me here? I promise you, folks, it's not just to sit here, go to work, pay bills, and die. You know what I'm saying? That seems to be our routine. We go to school, we go to work, we come home, we pay the bills, and we do it over and over again. You get in this crazy cycle of life. That's not why God put you here. God didn't put you here just to do the routine. Go about the day, make your paycheck, pay your bills, hunt a little deer, play a little golf, and die. That's not what it is. He's got you here for a purpose, and it's more than just coming once a week and sitting on this comfy pew and doing it. He's got a purpose in your life. I want you to find that out today. Answer that question tonight. Lord, hey, what is it, God? What do you have me here? Because some of you are here and you're thinking, man, I'm only 9 years old. I can't do stuff. No, God's got a purpose for you at 9, 10, 11, 12. God's got a purpose for you at 75. Some of you older folks here, he's got a purpose for each one of us and a plan for each one of us. He wants you to live that out. I want to encourage you today. Find that out today as you go about your day today, as you go home, take a nap this evening. When you lay down tonight on that pillow, God, what is it you want to do in my life? You've placed me here for a time, placed me here for a purpose. Lord, what is it in my life? Teach me, show me, lead me so I can live it out and I'm not wasting your time. I don't want to be that person that's guilty of wasting God's time. I don't want to waste my own time. But every day, I lay down my head on that pillow at night. And I mean, so many times I've laid there and thought, man, I didn't do anything for today that's going to matter for eternity. I wasted today. Today was all about me. Today I just shot my bow. I kind of dodged the kids. I was too tired of messing with this or whatever. And I didn't do anything that matters for eternity. Are we doing that? Are we doing things that matter, have an eternal value to it? We need to be praising the Lord with everything we've got. Our lives, our purpose ought to be praising him. I got one little video I want to show and share with you as we wrap up. It's a video my sister had a chance to share her testimony. She was diagnosed with breast cancer and when she was 29 years of age, okay? And I didn't think 29-year-old girls got breast cancer. I thought that was like, you know, you got that older in life when you were getting older, and that was for older ladies. I didn't think it happened at 29, but my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer at 29, and she battled that for 5 long, tough years. Battled breast cancer for 5 years, and then she passed away. God took her home after a 5-year battle with that breast cancer. It was awful thing to see. As you guys know, cancer is brutal. Cancer doesn't care how old you are, how good a shape you are. Because see, Jessie was in great shape. She was running races, and she was a fitness trainer and did all the things, ate right, and did all the stuff that I don't do. She was doing. She was in great shape, but cancer don't care. And so she battled this thing out, and I watched God do an amazing work in her life and watch him work in and through her and just do some things. You know, she was one of those kids that was saved at an early age. And she was a Christian from early on, but she didn't really live it out. Her and her husband, they'd kind of do their thing on the weekends, and they'd go and hang out and with friends and maybe drink a little too much and did their partying lifestyle. And if they weren't too tired or just had too much fun on the night before, they might go to church on Sunday morning because they knew they were supposed to do that. But it wasn't their lifestyle. They weren't living it out. But I watched God do amazing things for that cancer and get a hold of her, and she realized, hey, I'm wasting time. And she knew I didn't want to waste time anymore. And she knew that every day has a purpose. And she wanted to fulfill that. And it was an unbelievable story for about 5 years there to just watch God move mightily in her life. I want you to hear her story that she got to share before she'd passed away at the church down in Memphis we used to go to. And it was just an awesome opportunity for her to share a testimony. I use that today. And I promised her before she died, I said, I'm going to continue to tell your story. People will continue to be changed by your story. And so you guys, if you will, play that, Joe, and share that with you guys this morning.
Kept telling myself this is fine, but in the back of my mind I could tell this was not looking good. And I went from doing a mammogram, they did a ultrasound, and then they did a biopsy all in one day, and the doctor said, I'm 99% sure this is breast cancer. I was just in such shock, and it was just devastating. My world came crashing down. I had just ran the St. Jude Half Marathon at my fastest time ever. I had won a bench press competition. My husband and I were just trying to build up our business. We're both personal trainers. We were just focusing on that and getting ready to start a family. And all of a sudden, that all came to a screeching halt. After I was diagnosed, I had chemo, and then I had a single mastectomy. I had radiation. You know, I realized that I couldn't wait till I was older, 40s and 50s, to live my life for God. And I had just kind of been living for myself, trying to build up my own things. I knew that I was a Christian. I knew that I would go to heaven when I died. And it wasn't that I was scared to die. It was, what are they going to think of me when I die? Oh, she's a good trainer. She can run fast. She's a nice person, hard worker. But I, you know, those things didn't matter to me at all anymore. So we had a couple more treatments to go. And then one day I had a very massive seizure while I was still in bed. And it was another one of those times where God was just protecting me. My husband was supposed to be at work, and the client canceled. 3 days later, I had a major brain surgery. So I have played this roller coaster back and forth. It's like the tumors hop from the body, usually my chest wall, back to the brain. I was having many sleepless nights, and I just kind of found a routine that I was waking up about 3 a.m. And those are some of the most precious, intimate times I've had with Jesus. And you know, when my husband was asleep and my parents, my family, friends were all asleep, I knew that I could connect with him. And it was through that time that I really felt like I grew closer to him. I truly believe that each day has a purpose. We take healing baskets to the chemo clinics, and we will share little devotional books and snacks with people. And it's just given me so many opportunities to share Christ and share Jesus' love and to inspire people and tell people, you know, hang in there. You know, it may be a job. It may be a teenager that's not acting right. It may be, you know, an illness. But if you just cling to God during that time and just not give up, His plan is bigger and His ways are higher. His course of plan and His course of action is going to be so much bigger and better and more wonderful than we could ever imagine, than our plans and our desires. I'm not thankful for cancer. I'm thankful for the journey that I've come through, the new friends that I've made, the things that I've learned, and most importantly, my new relationship with God and how much closer I am to Him. Now, whether God will restore me here on earth or restore me one day in heaven, I just cling to that. I know that He's going to restore me. And when I do die, and we're all going to die one day, but when that day comes, that I will be able to stand before God and that He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that, to me, is what life is all about. I'm Jessica Hambrick, and that is my Red Chair story.
I promised Jessie that I would continue to tell her story, as I mentioned to you, long after she's gone. It's cool to see, when I'm able to share that around the country, to see somebody who, she never hunted. She didn't fish. But it's so cool. I wish I could tell her right now, Jessie, these rednecks around the country are finding Jesus because of your story. And just to share her story over and over again. I love what she said. I want to hear the words, "Well done." I have no doubt in my mind that when she stood before Jesus, when she breathed her last here, when her journey was done here and she stood before God, He said, "Hey, well done. Well done, Jesse. You have battled it out these last 5 years and you did so much amazing things." And to watch her, people she trained, I know she had a kid, a guy that she trained. He was an atheist, didn't want nothing to do with it. "Now, Jesse, don't talk to me about that stuff." But over the course of this battle with cancer, I remember before she died, he said, "I'm praying for you." He saw something in this God that she served and this God that she trusted and changed the life of an atheist. Jesse said, "Every day's got a purpose. Every day's got a purpose." And guys, I want to encourage you, that went for her, that goes for me, that goes for you. Every day's got a purpose. And she knew, and she said there, "Hey, we're all going to die." You know what I'm saying? We often wonder, like, "Oh man, I hope I don't die." Hey, you're going to die. We're all going to die. It's just part of life. One out of one. People die. It's happening. It's inevitable. We're all going to die. It may be at 33. It may be at 94, like Mr. Walt. But we're all going to die. The question is, what are you going to do with the time God has given you, with the days that he's given you? And the time that he gave you, what will you do with your life, with the purpose that he put you on this earth? Some of it's coming sooner than others. I watched two young men I had dinner with last night. They honored last night and gave away a trip last night. They're two little boys. I think one is 6. The other one was 10 or 11 or 12. And their names AJ and Josh. Okay, Josh gave me this little wristband. It's for his cause and Joshua's Future of Promise band. And they've got this disease called FOP. And if you haven't ever heard of it, I never have. But I looked it up yesterday afternoon. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, how horrific. And it's just a brutal, brutal disease where their body ultimately locks up. Their soft tissue, their tendons, ligaments, everything, instead of bruising or tearing or whatever, when it has an injury, it turns to bone. And their body will ultimately just turn to bone. And it's a horrific thing. And I'm watching these two guys, and I listened to that mom telling the story of it last night. And she said, don't take a day for granted. Don't take a day for granted. And I thought, you know, that goes for somebody with a horrific diagnosis like this. That goes for me with 4 healthy kids. That goes for each one of us in this room. Don't take a day for granted. We need to be living every day as if it was our last, because honestly, it could be. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm just trying to help us realize we don't need to take days for granted. We don't need to waste time. God's given us that little dash of life. The dash is the time between the day you were born and the time you die. That day is on your tombstone one of these days, and it'll be there. The day you're born and the day you die. And there's that little bitty mark, that little bitty dash. I want to ask you, what are you doing with that dash, that little mark, that indication of your life? What will it represent? It's just a little bitty spot on that marker in the tombstone, on the tombstone, but it's huge. How do we live it out? What do we do with that little dash of life we've got? And here's the thing, this is not where it's at. This is not what it's all about. That little dash is, may represent 10 years, it may represent 100 years, but in the grand scheme of things, it's such a small time. We're here for a moment, we're just passing through. The Bible says our life is like a vapor, right? You go, when you step out here and you breathe when in the cold air in just a moment, I want you to do that, I want you to go, and when you see it for a moment, it's there, right? You see it, and then it's gone, right? As quick as you see it, and you say, oh, it's cold, and then it's gone. The Bible says that's your life. Your life is like a vapor. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. Another day is coming. A better day is coming for those that know Jesus. But what are we doing in this vapor of life we've got right now? Are you living with purpose? That's the question I want to ask this morning. Are we living with purpose? Are we making it count? The life he's given us. And guys, the bottom line is we need to do that. We need to praise him with our lives. Praise him with everything we've got. Praise him with the purpose we've been put on this earth for. Is your life praising God? Does your life bring glory to God when you live it out each day? Is God saying, man, that dude is doing it right. He's praising me. Is your life bringing honor and glory and praise to the King? Or are we wasting time? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. While we're alive, while we're breathing, we need to be praising him. And I want to encourage you today, praise him with your purpose. Praise him with your life, the purpose for being on this earth. He's got it for you. Figure out what it is and do great and mighty things in and through your life. Lord, we thank you for this time today. I thank you for new friends I've been able to make the last couple days and catching up with some old friends. And God, it's just been a good time. It's been a good time to focus on you. And Lord, I thank you for the blessing, the honor of being able to use my passion for hunting in the outdoors, just to share stories and just reflect on times we've spent in the outdoors with my kids, with Mr. Walt, and just some of the best times of life have been out there in your creation. Now, thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to let me use my passion and work that into the purpose you've laid me on this earth for. God, I pray you help us be faithful to that. I pray for my friends in this room, God, each one of us, help us to figure it out today, Lord, not waste any more time, but figure out today what it is you've put us on this earth for, how we're to use our lives, how we're to use the purpose you've put us here, God, to make a difference for you. We spend so much time on us. God, help us to take it back to you. Bring glory to you. To praise you with our breath. Praise you with our life. Everything we do, God, may it praise and bring honor and glory to you. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Guys, the pastor, these guys are going to play here, I guess. And I just want to say a big thanks to you for allowing my wife and I to be here these last couple days. It's been so fun just to come and do what we do ministry-wise and just be a part of it. And I look forward to seeing you guys on down the road sooner than later. So thank you guys so much. God bless you.
Morning, everybody. Hey, can somebody please explain to me how 2 weeks ago we were at 75 degrees and now we're dealing with this, right? As Bill said, my name's Steve Rothenberger, and I'm what you would call the project manager for the Sportsman's Dinner Committee. And what a big night last night. Lots of people, lots of food, great time. At this time, it's my pleasure and honor to introduce to you Brody Swisher. So come on up, Brody.
All right, good to be with you guys this morning. My wife and I sit in the back. My wife Amanda, sweet wife Amanda's back there in the back. Amanda, wave your hand. We sit up on the front row in the first service, and then we heard that things get a little live. We heard the little rehearsal in here. I thought, you know, it might not be bad to move on back there and hear it from back there and for the second service. And so what a great team you guys had. That stuff gets you in the mood. I tell you, worship, it should be that. It should take you to the face of God and through that. And I love that. And man, the dude was jamming out over here. I don't know if that's a bass, because I don't know nothing about instruments other than turkey calls and stuff. But he's jamming out right here. Did y'all hear that a few minutes ago? And he's just right before the song started. And I promise you, for a second, I thought Eye of the Tiger was coming. Did anybody else think that? I mean, is it just me? And I'm thinking, come on, dude, Eye of the Tiger, here we go. And that was a great song nonetheless. I mean, it was a good song, hallelujah, you know, and the cross and all the spiritual stuff. But I thought, man, Eye of the Tiger, this is your time. And would that be hard to get? Can y'all come back and do Eye of the Tiger real quick? Can we do that? Worship would break out like crazy in the place this morning, Eye of the Tiger. It's good to be with you guys this morning. It was great last night. We had an awesome time. Again, let me see your hands. How many of y'all were here last night? It wasn't very many of y'all, so I want to encourage you next year to come. You say, I don't do the hunting thing, and I'm not into all that. That's fine. Come. It's good stuff. And for those of you that said that last night, you didn't come last night because of a hunting theme. I brought a hunting video this morning to share with you, okay? So you're not going to dodge it all the way around. But it was good. We had an awesome time. And I encourage you guys to continue to support this church in that effort and continue to. It may not be your thing, but it was so cool to see and to be a part of that. And I love a church that supports that, particularly people that say, well, I don't do the hunting thing, but I love to see them get behind it and support it and say, you know what, that's not my thing. I like to hunt or fish, but I know it's an awesome outreach for this community, so I'm going to support that and jump in and serve. And I love that. I love to hear people come up and they're volunteers and they say, well, I'm not that person. I don't do this stuff, and I want to come and serve because I know it's a good cause. So you guys continue to support this church as they reach the community. With that, we had a great time, and I had several kids last night I gave calls to, and he mentioned, and I told him, I said, you guys show up tomorrow with your mouth call, your turkey call, show up in church, and there will be a time in church, and if it's this church or another church across the community, it'll be even better, because I want you to blow those calls right in the middle of the service, okay? It may be the worship time with music, you can just feel free to do so, and I know the pastors are cringing, like, oh, no, not here, not, the, you know, and so I told him you either do it on Sunday morning at church or wait till Monday morning at school. And the teacher is up there at the chalkboard doing her thing, working, and you just you blow a call in your mouth, and they don't know who you got. And she turns around like, what in the world? And you just, I don't know. And so it's a lot of fun for those kids. So hopefully some of those will take their calls to school tomorrow and probably go to detention or whatever it is they do nowadays. I told him just to blame it on the preacher, though. Not Brody Swisher. Just blame it on Pastor John, and you'll be okay, okay? So it's Pastor John's fault. Hey, if you got your Bibles this morning, your iPads, your gadgets, whatever you use to find God's Word, I'll be finding Psalm 150. Psalm 150 is where we're going to be in just a quick passage. The message is pretty quick today. We're going to keep it short and sweet. As sweet as a turkey hunt can be, I guess I should say, talking about a turkey. We shared a video last night with Mr. Walt. And I want to share that again in just a moment, not because I want to share a turkey hunt in a church service on Sunday, although that is history in the making. I told him last night, so we're going to share a turkey hunt today in church. It's probably the only church in the country, most likely around the world, that will feature a turkey hunt as part of the Sunday service. But so you guys are part of history this morning, I would venture to say. But the story with Mr. Walt, there was more to it. I wanted to share this morning and invited those folks back. I want to share with you guys. And the question today is, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go home? A lot of you are like, heck yeah, I'm ready. I've been sitting here for an hour, And they played some good music, but I'm getting sleepy, I'm getting hungry, and I'm ready to go. Now, I want to ask you the question, are you ready to go home to be with the Lord? Is your life in such a place? Are you ready to stand before the King? Are you ready to go home? I will ask, how many of you got the spring setting the clock? How many almost got you this morning? Anybody? Anybody forget the clock? Anybody wake up thinking they messed up? Anybody? Good. Good. It's easy when you're at the late service, right? When you're here late, you don't have to worry about it as much. Some of the ones earlier, you know, they were a different story for them, getting up early. Psalm 150. If you found it, say, uh-huh. All right, let's read it. Psalm 150. And here's 150 of these things. This is the very last one, the very last psalm. The big book in the middle of the whole Bible. You can pretty much open the Bible right down the middle. You hit Psalm, the very last one. It's all this talking about praise and praise. And you see just praise after praise. Praise the Lord is the theme here. But the very last one, I love how it wraps up. It says this. It says Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. It says praise God in his sanctuary. That's what we're doing today. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Okay? Now, I don't play those instruments. I don't know how to even begin to play these instruments. I play, again, the turkey call, the elk bugle. Those are my instruments. And so I think we could probably squeeze those in here somewhere. You know, I told the first service, I'm going to, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, God, why did you not have the turkey call in here? Praise him with a turkey call. And it should be in here somewhere, maybe. Verse 4, praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Now, some of y'all think that's crazy. Oh, dancing. You can't praise the Lord dancing. I grew up in the Baptist church, and that was a no-no. You don't dance, right? Now, looking back, I want to take this back to my youth leader and say, look here, son. Praise him with dancing right there. I got gypped, okay? You told me I couldn't dance, and here it is. Praise him not only with dancing, but the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. But watch this, the last one. Here's what you get this morning. This is the one to key in on. I want you to circle it, highlight it, whatever you got. Verse 6, let everything that hath breath, what? Praise the Lord, okay? You've heard that before. That's probably not anything new. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. This translation here I've got says, let everything that breathes sing praises to God, praises to the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Raise your hand if you got breath in your lungs this morning. That's all of us, right? If you're here this morning and you are, and you're breathing, which you are, you ought to be, it's according to this, praising the Lord. Our lives ought to be praising the Lord. Everything that has breath, it's not saying you might want to, you should, or consider praising the Lord. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, and then it finishes up and says, praise the Lord. So guys, when I read that, as simple as that is, I look at that and say, man, we need to be praising him with everything we've got. Praising him with the instruments and the musicians do their thing. They've done that this morning wonderfully. What about the rest of us? We oftentimes say, well, you guys are good. Let the worship dudes banging on the drum and jamming out the guitars, let them praise the Lord for us, okay? They're going to praise the Lord. We're going to watch, clap hands, and do our thing. But no, they do their thing with instruments. We do our stuff with our lives. Again, I'm serious when I say I do that with the turkey call and with my hunting. I'm using that. I'm going to praise the Lord through what I do, my passion. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. It's clear that our lives should be praising the Lord, everything we do. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him with your life, your actions, your deeds. All your stuff needs to be pointing back to and praising God. Okay, real simple this morning. Just what is it? What is our purpose? What is our life meant to be? Why are you here? That's the question. Why are you here? Why did God put you on this earth? And are you using your life and the time that he gave you to make a difference for the kingdom, for all eternity? What is your purpose? And are you using your purpose to praise him? Real simple question this morning. I want us to reflect on that. Now listen, I want to share this video. And again, it is a turkey hunt, okay? Now I don't want to offend anybody. I was really, strangely enough, I was more concerned in the first service because it was an older generation. It was some of our older group. And I know some of y'all are here in this service as well. But for all in all, it was a majority of, was an older generation of folks in the first service. And I thought, man, I don't want to offend these guys. They're not going to like this. And I was kind of thinking, oh, I don't know, this isn't going to work. And I'm going to get some complaints. And I'm going to get strangled outside there. They're going to come after me in that older. But it just dawned on me at one conversation I had. Because I walked out there, and my wife was getting some coffee. And one of the older ladies, sweet older lady, she pulled me aside. She said, I love that video. And she said, I remember when I was little, we had a big log out back. We'd get them chickens and turkeys. And she said, there were two nails in it. And I don't know if she, I think she said she had two nails in it. And I guess she put that chicken or turkey's neck in the two nails. Anybody know, is that how it worked? And she said, we put that neck in there, stretch that sucker out. And she had a smile on her face and just kind of a twinkle in her eye. And I thought, all right, I like where we're going with this. I'm with you. She said, we stretch that thing out and we chop his head off. Well, hallelujah. You know, I mean, yeah. But the fire in her eyes, she just kind of like, we chop that neck off. It was awesome. You know, and I'm thinking, hey, I like this lady. She's like, that was the good old days. And I thought, okay, we're on the same wavelength. And it really kind of dawned on me, this is a crowd I ought to be worried about with the younger kids, because now it's a generation of, we've got our kids that are playing their gadgets, and you say, we're going to show you an animal getting killed. Like, no, we don't do that on our gadgets. They play, you know, Big Game Hunter, Cabela's Big Game Hunter on their video game. There's no blood, and they don't get to gut stuff and see heads flopping and chopping and all that. So we've kind of protected our kids, right? And we need to get our kids out there and experience grandma's chicken butchering, right? We need kids that see that, experience that, get grass stains on their knees once again, because I'm afraid we've taken our kids inside and we've pacified them with electronics. Hey, my kids are guilty of it too. I'm guilty of it. We get in there and they're like, hey, can I play a game? I said, no, yeah, you can play a game and get outside, get in the sandbox, or get outside and go find something and treasure, you know, whatever. But that was kind of I love that. That was an enlightening moment with her. And just to see her, she said, that's the good old days, killing chickens and turkeys out back. And I thought, all right, we're good. But with that said, I don't want to, honestly, I don't want to offend anybody this morning. I share this because we're going somewhere with it. Stick with me on this video, okay? Now, I blacked out the part where the shot is, okay? We're having some turkeys come up, and this is the story of Mr. Walt. Mr. Walt was 92 years of age, I think, when he first came up. He wanted a turkey hunt. All his life he wanted a turkey hunt, but had never had the opportunity. Now, Mr. Walt, like I said, he was in military, and he was a sharpshooter, and he was one of those guys, he'd done all kind of things and done pretty much everything you can imagine, but he never killed a turkey. He'd say, man, I can shoot a penny at a mile away with a .22 rifle open sights. He's one of those kind of guys. You really didn't believe his story, but you just went with it because it sounded good, and it made him look good, and he liked to tell it, and so you went with it. But he never killed a turkey. I said, well, bring him up here. He lived in Georgia. We were in Tennessee. His niece was like parents does, awesome people, lived in Tennessee, had 80-acre farm, killer farm, full of turkeys. They didn't let anybody hunt it. That's why the turkeys were there. They wouldn't let me hunt it, but they'd let Mr. Walt hunt it. And I said, you bring him up, we'll get Mr. Walt on a turkey, and he will fulfill his life's purpose after all the good things he's done. He wants to kill a turkey. So we get Mr. Walt up. Now, he can't hear, okay? He's got hearing aids, and he'd crank them up, and you hear him buzzing and stuff, but even with that, he just couldn't hear. So you have to let him read your lips, or you'd have to write, most times, just the easiest thing, just write a letter to him, you know, just write a note. Hey, Mr. Walt, we're going turkey hunting. It's time to go. Get your stuff on. Let's go. And, you know, let him read it. Oh, okay. And we'd go. Well, we take him out there in the golf cart. Again, he doesn't get around good. He had a walker he'd use sometimes, or a cane. But, you know, going across the field, it's not going to happen. So we took him in the golf cart, drive him out there. We set him down in the chair. We got a little camp chair. We kind of set him down in the chair. Two of us kind of lean him back. He falls back in the chair. And we got this big ground blind, pop-up ground blind. We put over the top of him, and I climbed in. We're ready to go. He's in the blind and having a big time. And the first year, however, comes, and we call up turkeys two different times, called up turkeys, and he had them right there in front of him. And I'm talking here to the Oregon, 10 yards, you know, we're just right there. We call up this bird, big old long-beard turkey. Now, with the shotgun, you shoot him in the neck and the head. That's how you do it. And the one bird comes up, he's right there, and I said, Mr. Walt, there he is. And he gets his gun lined out. I told him, if you do see this, that means pull the trigger. That meant the trigger, okay? So he gets his gun, woo, shoots, nothing. Smooth miss on the first turkey. I said, hey, no problem. We got more birds coming. Let's call some more, and we'll get more birds in here. So sure enough, a little bit later, same thing, coming the other direction. Here comes another turkey, 10 or 12 yards. I say, Mr. Walt, here we go. This is your chance to redeem yourself. This is good stuff. Here's another long beard, a gobbler, a tom, whatever you want to call him. He's right there, 10 or 12 yards. Mr. Walt lays his gun out there. Give him the note, write the note, hey, shoot that thing, here's the finger, shoot him, and he shoots, woo! Guess what happened on the second shot? He missed that one too, okay? Clean miss again, and the turkey runs off and flies off, and it's over. Done deal, no more turkeys coming. And Mr. Walt was mad, you know what I'm saying? He was not happy about the situation. How many of you guys, when you miss, you're okay with it? You're just like, oh, no big deal, I'm fine. No, I didn't even want to shoot the thing, I didn't care. Anybody like that? No, I don't know how you ladies are, but us men, it aggravates us, to say it nicely. We're ticked off. We don't like that. We start thinking crazy stuff. I got to go back this afternoon. I got to skip church tomorrow. I'm going to call in sick to work. And all these bad things so we can get some redemption and redeem ourselves from missing the stinking deer or duck or turkey, whatever it was. We want to redeem ourselves. And that was Mr. Wall. He said, I'm not shaving my face. Got kind of superstitious. He said, I'm not shaving my face till I come back next year and kill one of these turkeys. I won't shave my face. He was all clean baby face the first year. But he comes back the second year, and he looks like Uncle Jesse from the Dukes of Hazzard. You know what I'm saying? Y'all remember that show? Awesome show. Awesome show. And looked like Uncle Jesse, this big old beard on him, and he was serious. He came back and he said, I've got to kill a bird so I can shave my face. So that's kind of where our video picks up. I got so excited the first year on the first two shots trying to get him on those birds, all the excitement of it, and you know, his dream hunts right here, and I kind of got careless with the video, and I didn't even get the first two shots, okay? So you're going to see that, and then we're going to pick up with the next one. So let's go ahead with that, Joe, if we can. Here's the story of Mr. Walt. Now, again, I blacked out the shot part for the sake of some of you that might not want to see that. It may seem a little bird flopping, but I'll tell you when you can close your eyes. That really does bother you. Take him out in the golf cart. That was me and Mr. Don right there taking him out. Here's Mr. Walt. Now, like I said, he can't hear it all, but he grunts a lot.
Goblin right down there. Is there one?
Mr. Walt.
Isn't it from Georgia? He's one of our big supporters, and thank the Lord for him and all he does for the ministry, but Mr. Walt is 92 years old, and he hadn't shot a shotgun since like 1940-something the other day. This is a good example that you're never too old to get out there and chase some birds. 92 years old. He can't hear a lick. So we're writing with this notepad. We got this notepad.
There's a notepad tucked over in the corner of the blind. And we're just writing back to our little girls at school. You know what I'm saying? We write little notes. He'd say, hey, you see anything? I'd say, no, I don't. Hey, you got any snacks? No, I don't. Or here you go. Here's, you know, crackers. I got to go to the bathroom. I'd say, hey, you're on your own. You know what I'm saying? You just back and forth. The next year, though, we had flashcards. We made little cue cards, little flashcards, so we could just say, hey, Walt, you're ready. You just use flashcard like at school. Make it nice and easy. No writing. Just show the flashcard. Nice and slick. We kind of got genius the next year. Well, here's these turkeys. He missed the two shots. We fast forward a year later. Here they are, same field. Turkey's right there. Now, with that shotgun, you shoot that turkey right in that little red spot on his neck. That's what God put that red spot there as a bullseye for turkey hunters, okay? But this bird, I'm trying to get him to pop his head up there so Mr. Walt can shoot. And you got that fan. You don't want to shoot the feathers. The feathers, that's a pretty spot of them. You want to put that fan on the wall. But I get so caught up in it, I forget to run the camera, too.
Shoot. Yeah. Hold on. Wait.
I tell him to shoot. He heard that one, actually.
Wait.
And I forget I got the camera on, so I'm pulling him off of it. Now we're getting lined out again.
Shoot.
I tell him to shoot right there. I should never have done that, because if you see, if he shoots right there, he kills about six of them. You know what I'm saying? He just mows it down. But so I'm glad he didn't listen to me there, or didn't hear me, I should say. But that bird came, heard the sound. He came and checked it out, but he's not seen any decoys. So he's just going to do what? He's going to follow those other hens and Jake's, and he's leaving. He's puffed up. He's strutting. And that's just like some of you young guys in the room today. When you walked in and you saw a cute girl, what did you do? You puffed up and started strutting. You know what I'm saying? You got your muscles out. You sucked your gut in, and you strutted for the ladies. That's what turkeys do. They strut for the girls, or they try to intimidate the boys. And that's what that term, strut your stuff, that's where it comes from.
Shoot him up.
I mentioned to you, he can't hear, right?
Shoot.
So just begging Mr. Walt to shoot.
Wait. Too far.
Now he's going to start arguing with me and tell me he's too far.
All right, get ready. Right,
we're going to shoot right here. If you don't want to see, you close your eyes for just a second.
Shoot. Yeah, shoot right there.
Got bird it, flop around. All right, you can open your eyes.
Praise the Lord.
Now.
That's right, man.
And Mr. Walt, here he is with his beautiful beard. And here's our cue
guard,
little flash guard. Walt, shoot.
You going to get out right now?
Yeah, let's get out and go check it out.
Ready to go home.
Look like an eagle.
All right. Sucker said, man, look like an eagle. Yeah, big hand for Mr. Walt. Yeah. You see the picture there? He went to be with Jesus about this time. I think it was February 2010. And what an awesome, awesome guy. And that will forever be one of my most cherished sons of all time. I love to share his story, his legacy. He loved Jesus. And he loved to tell people about Jesus. Everywhere he went, he'd drive you crazy, making sure you knew Jesus and had a relationship with Jesus. And I love that about him. And I know he was an awesome man of God, but he loved to tell this story. He loved to live it out, and he loved that moment. You heard him. He held that bird up and said, "Look like an eagle." Well, I thought, gracious, how many bald eagles you kill, man? How many? What's going on with that? Don't be talking about that. We're going to go to that check-in station here in a little bit. Don't be saying nothing about bald eagles, okay? Scared me. But I don't think you could hear it. We were probably laughing during the video. But the first words out of his mouth when he killed that turkey, when he shot that sucker, and it's sitting there flopping and rolling, and you know what the first thing he said? And you might not have heard it, I don't know. He said, "Praise the Lord." And I love that. Here a guy, 92, I think he was 93 or so when he actually killed the bird. But the first words out of his mouth when he killed a turkey was, "Praise the Lord." You know what I'm saying? And that's good stuff. And that kind of goes back to our passage today. In everything we do, praise the Lord. And I don't think there's a better time in all of life than when a turkey's flopping. And there ain't no stopping. And a turkey's flopping. And to say praise the Lord. As a turkey hunter, that's good stuff. When you hold those antlers of a big buck, praise the Lord. Because a lot of guys are like, "Hey, look what I did. I killed a trophy. Look at my deer. Look at my bull. Look at this turkey. I killed a limit this morning." Whatever. You know, look what I did. And they want to pull their phone out and take a selfie. "Look what I did." But I love how Mr. Walter, what about look at me, look at selfie? It was praise the Lord was the words out of his mouth, the very first word. Praise the Lord, because he knew you praise him with the instruments. You praise God for his mighty works. He did that with his life. And he knew that when I kill a turkey, I'm praising the Lord. That was the first words out of his mouth. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord." Mr. Walt was breathing. He was rejoicing. He was celebrating. He killed his turkey. And he said, "Praise the Lord." Now, here's the deal. It wasn't long after that. Mr. Walt had lived a great life. He did all the ministry stuff he felt God called him to do. He supported us so big. I mean, he loved the opportunity for me to go around the country. And he bought us a video camera. That's why how we videoed a lot of his hunts. He said, "Hey, I want you to have that. I want you to keep telling the story. I want you to keep shooting critters and telling people about Jesus through that." He said, "I want you to use your purpose and the passion you have to make a difference in the lives of others." And that's why we still share his story, because I love the legacy he had. He wanted people to use their passion and their purpose to make a difference, to praise the Lord, make a difference for the kingdom. And that's why we do what we do. That's my purpose, is to talk hunting stories and use it to reach people for Jesus. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He did that. I want to ask you today, are you doing that with your life? When you wake up, when you live out your day, are you praising the Lord in everything you do? In the midst of it, you said, "No, I got to go to work. I can't praise the Lord." Yeah, you can. You can praise him at the work. You can use that opportunity. Now, I ain't talking about going in there and cheating the boss out of time on the clock, sitting there reading your Bible. You know what I'm saying? If you're there for a job, you need to be doing your job, not sitting over there reading scripture and jipping your boss out of time. But there's opportunities throughout your day that you can praise the Lord at your workplace. You can praise the Lord in your schoolhouse. Wherever it is you go, you have the opportunity to praise the Lord in everything you do. Praise him in everything we do. We need to be doing that. Mr. Walt lived that life. He did what God called him to do. And the ministry of things, and he wasn't even a preacher and that, but he had an awesome ministry on this earth. But there was one thing missing. He didn't have the opportunity to kill that turkey. And when he killed the bird, he was ready to go, because he said, "Praise the Lord." And then the next word you may have heard, he said, "Ready to go home." And earlier when I asked you, "Are you ready to go home today?" It comes from that, because he said, "I'm ready to go home." And first I thought he meant, "Oh, let's go back and eat some breakfast. You know, go get us a sausage biscuit." He wasn't talking about going home and eating breakfast. He was talking about, "I'm ready to go home. I have done what I feel like God's called me to do on this earth, and now I've killed a turkey, praise the Lord, ready to go home." And I thought, what an awesome man. It wasn't long after that he went to be with Jesus. He had done what God put him on this earth to do, and he went to be home with the Lord. And that's the bottom line, guys. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's got you here for a time. He's got you here for a purpose. And when he's done with you on this earth, he's going to take you home. I used to hear people say, "Oh, I'm looking forward to my eternal reward." And he was always that old preacher, right? He was that old preacher, and you just knew he was ready to go home, and he was ready for his reward because nothing was working anymore, and he was hurting, and all his body was in pain, and you knew he's just ready to go home, right? And I think, man, you're just an old preacher. That's all. You know, you talk about that old eternal reward. But it's hit me lately in the last decade or so that, no, that is the reward. Getting home to be with Jesus, that is our reward. We live this life, and when you get to go home, dude, there is no greater reward than to be in heaven with Jesus. That is as good as it gets. And Mr. Walt got to experience that. When he shut his eyes and breathed his last here on this earth, he received his reward in heaven. What an awesome time. I can only imagine what that first day for him in heaven was like. I promise you, though, he was telling people about that story right there and probably telling Jesus even today, you know, hey, Jesus, did I tell you about the turkey I killed down there in Tennessee with Brody? And he, I don't know if he'd get to take stuff, if he's got that picture, that image, whatever. He's telling Jesus about it, though, right now. Hey, it's turkey season, Jesus. Did you know turkey season's coming? It's spring. And let me tell you about my turkey I killed in Tennessee. He loved to tell the story. And I love to tell his story. A man who fulfilled God's purpose in his life while he was here. There's a passage in Acts, way back in Acts, and it's, I think it's 13. It's just kind of a sidebar. It's not even the main story, but it talks about David. And it says, and David, after he served God's purpose in his generation, he died. You remember the story of David. David was an awesome man. He did awesome things, had some struggles, did some terrible things, but an awesome guy. And it said, David, after he served God's purpose in his generation, in his life, said he died. Some translations say he fell asleep. So David did what God put him on this earth to do, and then he died. Guys, here's the thing. God's got you here on this earth for a purpose this morning. I want to ask you what it is. What it is God's got you here. You know what I'm saying? That's some good Southern talk for you. What it is. I want you to ask God of that today. Say, Lord, what is it? Or what it is that you got me here on this earth to do? What is my purpose here? God, why did you place me here? I promise you, folks, it's not just to sit here, go to work, pay bills, and die. You know what I'm saying? That seems to be our routine. We go to school, we go to work, we come home, we pay the bills, and we do it over and over again. You get in this crazy cycle of life. That's not why God put you here. God didn't put you here just to do the routine. Go about the day, make your paycheck, pay your bills, hunt a little deer, play a little golf, and die. That's not what it is. He's got you here for a purpose, and it's more than just coming once a week and sitting on this comfy pew and doing it. He's got a purpose in your life. I want you to find that out today. Answer that question tonight. Lord, hey, what is it, God? What do you have me here? Because some of you are here and you're thinking, man, I'm only 9 years old. I can't do stuff. No, God's got a purpose for you at 9, 10, 11, 12. God's got a purpose for you at 75. Some of you older folks here, he's got a purpose for each one of us and a plan for each one of us. He wants you to live that out. I want to encourage you today. Find that out today as you go about your day today, as you go home, take a nap this evening. When you lay down tonight on that pillow, God, what is it you want to do in my life? You've placed me here for a time, placed me here for a purpose. Lord, what is it in my life? Teach me, show me, lead me so I can live it out and I'm not wasting your time. I don't want to be that person that's guilty of wasting God's time. I don't want to waste my own time. But every day, I lay down my head on that pillow at night. And I mean, so many times I've laid there and thought, man, I didn't do anything for today that's going to matter for eternity. I wasted today. Today was all about me. Today I just shot my bow. I kind of dodged the kids. I was too tired of messing with this or whatever. And I didn't do anything that matters for eternity. Are we doing that? Are we doing things that matter, have an eternal value to it? We need to be praising the Lord with everything we've got. Our lives, our purpose ought to be praising him. I got one little video I want to show and share with you as we wrap up. It's a video my sister had a chance to share her testimony. She was diagnosed with breast cancer and when she was 29 years of age, okay? And I didn't think 29-year-old girls got breast cancer. I thought that was like, you know, you got that older in life when you were getting older, and that was for older ladies. I didn't think it happened at 29, but my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer at 29, and she battled that for 5 long, tough years. Battled breast cancer for 5 years, and then she passed away. God took her home after a 5-year battle with that breast cancer. It was a awful thing to see. As you guys know, cancer is brutal. Cancer doesn't care how old you are, how good a shape you are. Because see, Jessie was in great shape. She was running races, and she was a fitness trainer, and did all the things, ate right, and did all the stuff that I don't do. She was doing. She was in great shape, but cancer don't care. And so she battled this thing out, and I watched God do an amazing work in her life, and watch him work in and through her, and just do some things. You know, she was one of those kids that was saved at an early age. And she was a Christian from early on, but she didn't really live it out. Her and her husband, they'd kind of do their thing on the weekends, and they'd go and hang out and with friends and maybe drink a little too much and did their partying lifestyle. And if they weren't too tired or just had too much fun on the night before, they might go to church on Sunday morning because they knew they were supposed to do that. But it wasn't their lifestyle. They weren't living it out. But I watched God do amazing things for that cancer and get a hold of her, and she realized, hey, I'm wasting time. And she knew I didn't want to waste time anymore. And she knew that every day has a purpose. And she wanted to fulfill that. And it was an unbelievable story for about 5 years there to watch God move mightily in her life. I want you to hear her story that she got to share before she'd passed away at the church down in Memphis we used to go to. And it's just an awesome opportunity for her to share a testimony. I use that today. And I promised her before she died, I said, I'm going to continue to tell your story. People will continue to be changed by your story. And so you guys, if you will, play that, Joe. and share that with you guys this morning.
Kept telling myself this is fine, but in the back of my mind, I could tell this was not looking good. And I went from doing a mammogram, they did a ultrasound, and then they did a biopsy all in one day. And the doctor said, I'm 99% sure this is breast cancer. I was just in such shock, and it was just devastating. My world came crashing down. I had just ran the St. Jude Half Marathon at my fastest time ever. I had won a bench press competition. My husband and I were just trying to build up our business. We're both personal trainers. We were just focusing on that and getting ready to start a family. And all of a sudden, that all came to a screeching halt. After I was diagnosed, I had chemo, and then I had a single mastectomy. I had radiation. You know, I realized that I couldn't wait till I was older, 40s and 50s, to live my life for God. And I had just kind of been living for myself, trying to build up my own things. I knew that I was a Christian. I knew that I would go to heaven when I died. And it wasn't that I was scared to die. It was, what are they going to think of me when I die? Oh, she's a good trainer. She can run fast. She's a nice person, hard worker. But those things didn't matter to me at all anymore. So we had a couple more treatments to go. And then one day I had a very massive seizure while I was still in bed. And it was another one of those times where God was just protecting me. My husband was supposed to be at work, and the client canceled. 3 days later, I had a major brain surgery. So I have played this roller coaster back and forth. It's like the tumors hop from the body, usually my chest wall, back to the brain. I was having many sleepless nights, and I just kind of found a routine that I was waking up about 3 a.m. And those are some of the most precious, intimate times I've had with Jesus. And you know, when my husband was asleep and my parents, my family, friends were all asleep, I knew that I could connect with him. And it was through that time that I really felt like I grew closer to him. I truly believe that each day has a purpose. We take healing baskets to the chemo clinics, and we will share little devotional books and snacks with people. And it's just given me so many opportunities to share Christ and share Jesus' love and to inspire people and tell people, you know, hang in there. You know, it may be a job. It may be a teenager that's not acting right. It may be, you know, an illness. But if you can just cling to God during that time and just not give up, His plan is bigger and His ways are higher. His course of plan and His course of action is going to be so much bigger and better and more wonderful than we could ever imagine, than our plans and our desires. I'm not thankful for cancer. I'm thankful for the journey that I've come through, the new friends that I've made, the things that I've learned, and most importantly, my new relationship with God and how much closer I am to Him. Now, whether God will restore me here on earth or restore me one day in heaven, I just cling to that. I know that He's going to restore me. And when I do die, and we're all going to die one day, but when that day comes, that I will be able to stand before God and that He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that, to me, is what life is all about. I'm Jessica Hambrick, and that is my Red Chair story.
I promised Jessie that I would continue to tell her story, as I mentioned to you, long after she's gone. It's cool to see, when I'm able to share that around the country, to see somebody who, she never hunted. She didn't fish. But it's so cool. I wish I could tell her right now, Jessie, these rednecks around the country are finding Jesus because of your story. And just to share her story over and over again. I love what she said. I want to hear the words, well done. I have no doubt in my mind that when she stood before Jesus, when she breathed her last here, when her journey was done here and she stood before God, He said, hey, well done. Well done, Jesse. You have battled it out these last 5 years, and you did so much amazing things. And to watch her, people she trained, I know she had a kid, I say kid, a guy that she trained. He was an atheist, didn't want nothing to do with it. Now, Jesse, don't talk to me about that stuff. But over the course of this battle with cancer, remember before she died, he said, I'm praying for you. He saw something in this God that she served and this God that she trusted and changed the life of an atheist. Jesse said, every day's got a purpose. Every day has got a purpose. And guys, I want to encourage you. That went for her, that goes for me, that goes for you. Every day has got a purpose. And she knew. And she said there, hey, we're all going to die. You know what I'm saying? We often wonder like, oh man, I hope I don't die. Hey, you're going to die. We're all going to die. It's just part of life. One out of one. People die. It's happening. It's inevitable. We're all going to die. It may be at 33. It may be at 94, like Mr. Walt. But we're all going to die. The question is, what are you going to do with the time God has given you, with the days that he's given you? And the time that he gave you, what will you do with your life, with the purpose that he put you on this earth? Some of it's coming sooner than others. I watched two young men I had dinner with last night. They honored last night and gave away a trip last night. They're two little boys. I think one is 6. The other one was 10 or 11 or 12. And their name's AJ and Josh. Okay, Josh gave me this little wristband. It's for his calls and Joshua's Future Promise Band. And they've got this disease called FOP. And if you haven't ever heard of it, I never have. But I looked it up yesterday afternoon, and I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, how horrific. And it's just a brutal, brutal disease where their body ultimately locks up. Their soft tissue, their tendons, ligaments, everything, instead of bruising or tearing or whatever, when it has an injury, it turns to bone. And their body will ultimately just turn to bone. And it's a horrific thing. And I'm watching these two guys, and I listened to that mama telling the story of it last night. And she said, don't take a day for granted. Don't take a day for granted. I thought, you know, that goes for somebody with a horrific diagnosis like this. That goes for me with 4 healthy kids. That goes for each one of us in this room. Don't take a day for granted. We need to be living every day as if it was our last, because honestly, it could be. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm just trying to help us realize we don't need to take days for granted. We don't need to waste time. God's given us that little dash of life. The dash is the time between the day you were born and the time you die. That day is on your tombstone one of these days, and it'll be there. The day you're born and the day you die. And there's that little bitty mark, that little bitty dash. I want to ask you, what are you doing with that dash, that little mark, that indication of your life? What will it represent? It's just a little bitty spot on that marker in the tombstone, on the tombstone, but it's huge. How do we live it out? What do we do with that little dash of life we've got? And here's the thing, this is not where it's at. This is not what it's all about. That little dash is, may represent 10 years, it may represent 100 years, but in the grand scheme of things, it's such a small time. We're here for a moment, we're just passing through. The Bible says our life is like a vapor, right? You go, when you step out here and you breathe when in the cold air in just a moment, I want you to do that, I want you to go, and when you see it for a moment, it's there, right? You see it, and then it's gone, right? As quick as you see it, and you say, oh, it's cold, and then it's gone. The Bible says that's your life. Your life is like a vapor. It's here for a moment, and then it's gone. Another day is coming. A better day is coming for those that know Jesus. But what are we doing in this vapor of life we've got right now? Are you living with purpose? That's the question I want to ask this morning. Are we living with purpose? Are we making it count, the life he's given us? And guys, the bottom line is we need to do that. We need to praise him with our lives. Praise him with everything we've got. Praise him with the purpose we've been put on this earth for. Is your life praising God? Does your life bring glory to God when you live it out each day? Is God saying, man, that dude is doing it right. He's praising me. Is your life bringing honor and glory and praise to the King? Or are we wasting time? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. While we're alive, while we're breathing, we need to be praising him. And I want to encourage you today, praise him with your purpose. Praise him with your life, the purpose for being on this earth. He's got it for you. Figure out what it is and do great and mighty things in and through your life. Lord, we thank you for this time today. I thank you for new friends I've been able to make the last couple days and catching up with some old friends. And God, it's just been a good time. It's been a good time to focus on you. And Lord, I thank you for the blessing, the honor of being able to use my passion for hunting in the outdoors, just to share stories and just reflect on times we've spent in the outdoors with my kids, with Mr. Walt, and just some of the best times of life have been out there in your creation. Now, thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to let me use my passion and work that into the purpose you've laid me on this earth for. God, I pray you help us be faithful to that. I pray for my friends in this room, God, each one of us, help us to figure it out today, Lord, not waste any more time, but figure out today what it is you've put us on this earth for. How we're to use our life, how we're to use the purpose you've put us here, God, to make a difference for you. We spend so much time on us, God, help us to take it back to you, bring glory to you, to praise you with our breath, praise you with our life, everything we do, God. May it praise and bring honor and glory to you. In your holy name I pray, amen. Guys, the pastor, these guys are going to play here, I guess, and I just want to say a big thanks to you for allowing my wife and I to be here these last couple days. It's been so fun just to come and do what we do ministry-wise, and just be a part of it. And I look forward to seeing you guys on down the road sooner than later. So thank you guys so much. God bless you.